like to start by reading a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, or a few verses, I should say. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read from Darby's version. Verse 1, but I would make known to you, brethren, the glad tidings which I announced to you, which also ye received, in which also ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye hold fast the word which I announce to you as the glad tidings, unless indeed ye have believed in vain. For I delivered to you in the first place what also I had received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. As one has said, the gospel is said in brief by Paul here in these first verses. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He was entrusted with this gospel to preach it, and he did faithfully, and many believed. And they preached it, and they believed. And here we are today, entrusted with the gospel to pass on, to preach. I was asked to update from last year those things concerning grace and truth. We still are able to get out the gospel by God's grace. And many, many people who are involved throughout the world at this time in doing that by passing out a printed page called a tract. And we had our meeting, and according to production, we had about 4-page equivalent tracts. We sent out about 26 million tracts in 2012. It's good to receive at times letters from around the world, in different places of people, and how the Lord is using gospel tracts. It's very encouraging. Last year, I shared a prayer need here, and the Lord has answered in various different ways, some very unexpected. Of course, he has his ways of sharing and dealing. There were a number have shown some interest in the area of editorship of the magazine. There are a few in respect to helping with the production of literature. As things are working out at the moment, Paul Alberts, who is now president of Grace and Truth and learning to run all of Grace and Truth, is also has taken on himself managing editing of Grace and Truth magazine. And by God's grace, we're pressing on. The Lord has granted us a transition, and so far it's moving quite well by his grace. So we pray for continued help in that that matter of the magazine as it continues. We at this moment have a family who's looking for a house in Danville to move, and they've allowed me to share that it's John and Lumi Iorga from Chicago Berry Avenue meeting. Pray for them as they are making this transition too, and all the details. They have a big family, and they're excited about it, and of course anxious about it too, so we can pray for them as they endeavor to move to help in the production area, working with me. Some of you know that we had the opportunity to purchase a new press 3 years ago. I'm happy to tell you that it's still running, producing many tracks, and is working quite well. In fact, the press has so many little things on it, I learned a new thing this past week in running the press that has greatly helped my endeavors to print. So that was a very interesting discovery. Anyway, the press is running very well and running and printing tracks by the millions. We were in exercise for a number of years. Went to Chicago to a print show, and we see at the print show new and upcoming ways of printing. And we had an eye on what is called a computer to plate system. And maybe you're not savvy this way in a matter of printing, but computer to plate is a where you take what you want to print from the computer and it goes directly and is etched onto a plate. And this plate is taken and then put on the press. And then from there, the image is put on the paper. Before, there was a half a dozen other processes in between. This process is, as we say these days, green. Chemicals, less chemicals involved in producing. I've had the opportunity to learn how to make the plates from this computer to plate system, and it's a real joy to be able to do this. This kind of process eliminates a lot of human error in different ways and on the press, so things come on the paper more accurately than it used to. So it's exciting to be able to use this. And the Lord has provided for this, and we've been working through a year of transition from old plates to new plates, and we're still transitioning. And my coworker wanted to get rid of everything within a few months of when we got this thing. We were so excited about this, but we still have some old plates that we want to finish and use, but it'll take a time for that to work all the way through. So, new equipment, those are the new items. We're looking now to purchase a new van. We have a 20-year-old van purchased in 1993. We pull a trailer with literature in the back and the hitches. According to one of our maintenance person says that it's rusting and we don't want that to break off in travels. So pray about that as we seek out that. I want to tell you too that the Lord has blessed in giving us a substantial increase in an estate closing, increased our finances considerably, and we'll be able to cover the cost of the van with that and more, of course. So we're thankful for that. Again, As we mentioned, we have contacts around the world, and I want to tell you this morning, or excuse me, this afternoon, that our contacts in Nigeria need a lot of prayer. We have a couple of issues going on there. First of all, at Grace and Truth, we have a full container load of literature sitting, waiting to be sent to Nigeria, held up because Nigeria is changing their processes of receiving material into the country, which includes our container. And we are hopefully at the end of this process. We sent a performer list that needs to go to the government there and get okayed. And if that's okayed, hopefully within a week we'll be able to send out the literature. It's very close to it. So pray for that it would be finalized and we can get the literature off, because it's getting very close to the next literature container, which is due to go out in July. And they don't have a whole lot of room over there to receive two containers at one time. So we're praying for a release of that paperwork. So pray in that way. I want to say to you this afternoon that Klaus Roth desired to be here. I talked with him. He said, please send my greetings. So I bid you greetings from Klaus Roth. And recently, there's a brother who has been a faithful brother in the Afam area, which is close to Port Harcourt, which is the south side of Nigeria, where there's much activity in respect to kidnapping. And we had a brother named Tobias Oyenkia, who was abducted, blindfolded, and taken out into the woods or into the bush. And for, I think, 4 days, he spent, actually says here in a email from Klaus that he preached the gospel to his kidnappers. He said, well, I think some of them were listening. He had to pay a ransom price of about $4,500. He did, and they released him, thankfully, unharmed. When he was able to see again, he found himself about 30 minutes walk from his house. And thankfully, he's back to work. But we need to pray for those people in the southern part. Much activity of various ones there, kidnapping and doing all kinds of things to get money. Another brother in Oran wrote an email, and this is a prayer request. I'll share this. His name is Joseph E. Kang. I had the opportunity to be with him in 2004 and 2007. And a very active brother, has a couple of bookstores. His mother died, and she's going to be buried the next Saturday. So if we pray for that funeral, if you think of it, pray for him. I have down here one final thought. If any of you are interested in helping out at Grace and Truth by volunteering some time, if that ever the Lord opens up the way, give us a call. There are certain peak periods of times during the month where we need a little extra hand, and it would be nice to, if you have the exercise, to find out how literature gets sent out throughout the world by printed page, you can come and visit us. Pray for us. We're on next to the front lines, and we need a lot of prayer as we continue to serve the Lord in sending the gospel out in various means and ways by literature. Thank you.
We're having, in Revelation 2 and 3, Thou hast kept my word, not denied my name. He speaks to believers as being faithful. He says, it speaks of their first works. You have kept, you have endured. And you know, I just thank God for the honor of doing a little tiny bit of service for the Lord Jesus among assemblies. And Linda and I, the Lord has enabled us to travel more in the past couple of years. And last fall, I'll just mention a couple of places. You know, in Lusby, they started breaking bread maybe in August or July or August of last year. And we visited them at the end of August. It was a delight. And you could pray for the Dietzes. You know, they meet in their home. Philadelphia and the little assembly that began out of Philadelphia, Bethlehem, you could pray for them. John and Pat McCormick served there as well as a number of others. You know, we got to visit Bhutanese in Cambridge in Massachusetts. Excuse me. We visited the assembly in Cambridge, but the Bhutanese weren't able to make it to that evening meeting. It was a midweek meeting. But you could pray for the Bhutanese in Cambridge, the Bhutanese in Springfield, Massachusetts. In Concord, New Hampshire is not up there. And a number of Bhutanese, that was a completely Bhutanese assembly in Concord. Where did some move to, Eugene, now?
Some have moved to Ohio.
Yeah, so to...
And to Erie.
Okay, so they're in Akron?
Yeah, they're in Akron.
Some moved from Concord, New Hampshire. And some moved to Erie, as he's saying. So, you know, from Concord, they moved to Akron, rather, and to Erie. So their numbers are smaller in Concord. And to Springfield, Massachusetts, moved at least 15 Bhutanese from the assembly in High Point, North Carolina. That assembly is close to us, and that assembly is suffering some now. They had 50-some people in that assembly. Now a number in High Point, North Carolina, have lost their jobs. They aren't able to pay their debt, the debt for coming over to the United States. They have to pay that off. That's quite a welcome, right? And then, and so pray for that, for our dear Bhutanese brethren. And the Bhutanese conference is the third weekend in May at Mountain View. If you wish to go and hear some of the needs of the Bhutanese believers. Let's see. In Lewistown, they'd appreciate your prayers. They go on faithfully. Like I said, you visit some of these places and you're humbled. You say, Lord, I pray I could just have the humility and the grace and the faith to serve you like these do. And in Nova Scotia, in Dartmouth and Wolfville, we had delightful times, and you know, Brother Dirk Bowder in Wolfville wrote a hymn. He sent it to me. I don't know if he wonders if I put it to music. I might do it. I serve the Lord. One way I serve the Lord is with my singing, with my guitar. And let me see. We had the delight of visiting Niagara-on-the-Lake again after many years. And thank God for that assembly. We were in Phoenix, Arizona for the first time, and really enjoyed the saints there. There's a number of Bhutanese in Phoenix. And so we thank God that the one couple, younger couple, Paul and Patty McHale, moved from California there. And you could pray for our brother Rocky Weatherby. You know, sometimes the treatment for cancer, if it doesn't cure you, it'll kill you. Well, Brother Rocky, he's really suffered. You could pray for Rocky and Laurie. They have really served the Lord among the Bhutanese there in Phoenix. And pray for Rocky's, you know, the Lord in his mercy to completely heal him. We visited El Paso, Texas. We worked for, you know, 20 years, Linda and I, in El Paso, Mexico. and New Mexico, Sunland Park, where the assembly still is. We don't walk with them anymore. Pray for that assembly. We really enjoyed visiting Mary Jo Palasek before the Lord took her home. And it was a delightful time. We were there about a week and last summer. Let's see. We go regularly to California to help with Pine Valley Bible Camp. It is actually called Vacation Bible Camp. They've held it for 50 years. 50 years, Vacation Bible Camp. And it is currently at Pine Valley in California. For the past 2 years had the honor of visiting Oregon, Washington, Surrey, BC, and helping along with Brian Warren, Eugene Vetter, and others with the Principles in Focus retreat, it's called. So a lot of my work goes into PowerPoints, and I have some opening slides of a couple of PowerPoints, because I pray that God would help me to put the truth into a form that young people can lay hold of and say, this is mine. So we visit Florida every year. Interestingly, it's usually twice at the beginning, at the end of February, end of January, then in February for the camp. So let me see here if I can get this thing. So what I have on my heart, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's in you. And we pray that we could do what Paul said. He was commending himself to every conscience of men before God. And if the Lord would use me to help people to know a little more of that truth, then my life would be worthwhile. And connected with Christ in you, the hope of glory, is suffering. It's always connected. Suffer so the life of Christ is seen in you. Camps with young people, children. I don't know if I'd be with the children at Pine Valley this year or young people. I'm usually with the children. And conferences as this one. What we pray for when we visit assemblies is some spiritual gift to help our brethren. And share the truth in song with the guitar. So this was in 2011. At Missions in Focus. Who hopes to go to Missions in Focus camp? Okay. I pray that if I would ask that a month from now, I'd see a dozen hands of the young people up if we could gather as we are today in a month, because it's a wonderful opportunity to visit with missionaries and other servants of the Lord. So my talk at Principles in Focus in 2011 was inviting especially young people to serve on mission action groups. The web page is, I believe it's pbmag.org. Yes, pbmag.org. And that shows the MAG opportunities that are known so far for this year. At Principles in Focus in 2011, we had the seven churches of Revelation. And my talk was on Philadelphia. Love Christ with all your heart, how to overcome in Philadelphia. And there is the map I got from eSword. They're not as clear there, but really interestingly, Laodicea is closest to Ephesus and to Philadelphia. Isn't that something? That means if we are enjoying the Lord as we ought to, it is very easy to fall into Laodicea character. At the outreach in Charlotte last fall, I gave a PowerPoint, Help Me Save My Family, using the beginning with the verse, No one is good except God alone, Mark 10:18. And this was at Principles in Focus this past December, to present you a pure virgin to Christ, 2 Corinthians 11:2, the miracle of the Holy Spirit in you, an imperfect person. looking at the Feast of Pentecost. We would ask you to pray that the Lord would keep giving us grace and guide us as he helps us, Linda and I, to visit places we have not visited before. We have on our heart to visit some that we haven't visited in years. And please pray for us. Brother Tim.
I was a little bit taken off guard right after the last meeting. Greg asked me to just mention a couple of things, so I will try to do that. First of all, we want to thank the Lord for the saints of God who pray. Just to mention the work in Corona, most of you probably know, Corona is known by those around us as an outreach assembly. I'm not sure what that means, but that's what they call us. So we've adopted that. At first I thought, is that a criticism? But then I said, well, let's just adopt it and use it. And so thank God for it.
That's how the word Christian is first.
Absolutely. So anyway, we thank the Lord for it. And we are an outreach assembly. We're reaching out into our community. We thank the Lord for opportunities that he gives. And I would just say that the work of Corona Bible Chapel is a teamwork. There's no one person. It takes all. And it's a wonderful thing to work together with your brothers and sisters for the cause of Christ. And if we put our hands to the plow, we'd have less opportunity and less desire to put them on one another. And so when we're doing the work of the Lord, we get busy and we get occupied with doing things for his glory. So with that, in Corona, we have a children's work, as many assemblies do. It's at the present moment, it's small, but it's consistent. And what often happens is the children's work, the Good News Club, we call it, after a period of time, these children end up coming to Sunday school. They come to Vacation Bible School, which is in June, third week of June. So pray for us. And then after the third week of June is over, they end up coming. And typically what has happened over the last 4 or 5 years is that because of Vacation Bible School, we've actually gotten families to start coming to our family hour. And we don't have, now this is interesting, we are an outreach assembly, but we don't have a gospel meeting. We don't have a gospel meeting. And our Sunday school is our gospel meeting. And we bring children to our Sunday school. We bring the families. We have an adult Bible class that we gear toward the visitors. And we work with them. We have outlines that we do. Those outlines have become books. I understand that Brother Al has Building Blocks, which was a 5-year Bible study that we did in Family Hour, that has now is being used across the country in different assemblies. We also have the same type of Bible study on the book of Romans and also on Corinthians. Galatians is being worked on presently. After we're done with Galatians, we're going to be working on the subject of worship. And what we've done with that is we began in Genesis, and we're going to go right through the Bible as to different places in Scripture where worship is taken up. And this is to meet some very specific needs locally, and that's where I would encourage all of us, when we think about working in our home assembly and building it up, to sit down with your brethren and say, what are our needs? What's the mission focus ought to be here locally? And that's what we've done as an assembly. We have our mission statement, we have a mission focus, we have our goals that go along with that, and the mission statement, the mission focus is long-term, the goals are how to get there, and so we've done this. One of those goals that we have some long-term visions that I'd like you to pray about. One of those long-term visions, is that we would have an all-purpose building. I guess that's code word for a gym, but it just sounds better to say all-purpose room. And we have currently in working that direction. We've been after the house next door to our property. We've been after that I've lived there for 12 years. So we've been after it for about 12 years. And they wouldn't sell. And they wouldn't sell. And we kept going after them. And finally, the last time we went after them, I said to some of the brethren, I said, let's just stop asking them. Let's just start praying. I think if we ask the Lord, he'll give it to us. Let's just pray. Less than a month later, the man comes across the hall, across the yard, and he says, you guys still interested in that house? Which house? My house. Why? Well, I'd like to sell it, and I'd like to give it to you guys. We're looking at another house. Yeah, I think we might be interested. We've bought the house. We've purchased the house. It comes with the land right behind it. We really wanted the land. We didn't want the house. We wanted the land behind it. The Lord gave it to us. Now another house is opening up, and another brother has an idea that we should be buying that one too. But I don't know about that. But anyway, the point being, brethren, is we have a vision. The Lord will fulfill it. And I don't know if we'll ever get the building up that we want, because it might not be the Lord's will. But we're waiting on the Lord, we're moving forward, and we're taking one step at a time. So pray for that building project. We have purchased the land. Somebody is presently living in the house, giving a donation for it monthly to help pay the rent. And so we appreciate your prayer. The assembly has been growing over the past, we've had two new families in the past year. One of them is just growing leaps and bounds, and it's so thrilling to see. So just mention very quickly, we are involved personally. We started a few years ago, we started a new ministry online called Anchors for Life. You can go to anchorsforlife.org, I think it is, or you can type in Tim Hadley, type in Anchors for Life. It'll get you there too. And this is an online ministry that reaches around the world. A year and a half ago, we had a fellow write me and sent me an email, and he was from Saudi Arabia. I've never been to Saudi Arabia. I could never reach anybody in Saudi Arabia. And this man told us in the email that he accepted Christ as his Savior because of something on the blog. I just wept. You know, our young people are on email. I mean, our young people are on the internet. And all you young people know that this is a wide open field. And we have people, we put things up there, and we have people that contact us, and we send them out materials and things. So pray for that aspect. We are involved lately. We're doing a lot of shepherding in our local area. And lately, we've been involved with quite a bit of biblical counseling, and we appreciate help with that. We're counseling marrieds. We're counseling those that have lost loved ones, and we just appreciate your help. We're also connected with MIF, Brother Gordon Bennett, Brother Steve Campbell, and myself, and John Stasel. We, underneath the leadership of Brother Gordon, we are involved in working together with Mission in Focus, MIF, and it would be great. I echo what Brian said. It would be great to see a whole lot more young people there this year. And so we're involved in that. This year's theme is Shepherd Care. It's lacking, and that's our theme. And we are also involved in the young adults at the Eastern Bible Conference. Steve Campbell, myself, Mark Harris, and Sam Headley work together with the young adults at the Eastern Bible Conference. And we also work at camp, Mountain View Bible Camp. My wife and I, along with Jesse Baptiste and his wife Lisa, we direct junior camp every year. Last year we had the privilege of having some of the folks from Wausau with us. And we'd love to have you again. We'd love to have others. So that's just a small hint. I think that's everything I wrote down. We also have home Bible studies that we do in our home throughout the year with the youth group. We have, the Lord's given me the opportunity for the last, I think, 8-9 years to coach basketball with our homeschool team. And we've used that as an opportunity to serve him. And the result is a lot of the kids come to the Bible studies, a lot of kids come to the youth group work, and it's a great opportunity. My assistant coach has recently, in the last year, they start coming to the meeting, and they break bread. He breaks bread with us at present. And so we would appreciate prayer in all these little areas. Every area, if we turn it over to the Lord, if we surrender every area of our life to him, he can use for his glory. So we appreciate, Shelley and I appreciate your prayers.
You know, if I could open my heart to you, I want to let you, brethren in Wausau, know how thankful our family is for you. And we want to encourage you that God is faithful to answer your prayers. He has been faithful. I would like to just be very open with you and let you know that there was a time earlier, a few months earlier, where we were really considering, even just 2 months ago, where I was really wondering whether the Lord would have me to be here at this conference. There were some needs elsewhere, and we were considering, should I be someplace else, Lord? And the Lord really impressed upon my heart this fact, that when we came last year, the brethren asked specifically, what can we pray for? And a number of you brethren came to us without even having met us before and said, it's so good to see you. I've been praying for you. And that is something that we do not experience everywhere, brethren. That's something very, very precious to our hearts. And if you remember, I mentioned three things that I asked prayer for our family and for the work that the Lord is doing. And the Lord has been faithful to answer in those three areas. The first one was that our family would be solid, that we would be leading our family in a right way, that he'd help our family to really coalesce and be strengthened. The second one was that the Lord would help in my studies, that I would understand the scripture and be able to go further and deeper in and be diligent in that matter. And I believe the third one was that he would give direction and clarity as to what we should be doing. I'll confess the third one I'm not as fuzzy on. Maybe those of you who have been praying know. But these areas the Lord has answered in. And I felt compelled to come and to relate to you the fact that the Lord is faithful to answer your prayers, and we are thankful for what you're doing. Please continue to pray for our family. For those who haven't met my family, there's my wife, Jennifer. Hope is the tallest. She's 6. Hope, Catherine, Hannah, and Josiah. And we thank the Lord that, again, through your prayers, the Lord has been working. A verse that has really come to our attention and has become a theme verse for our family came to us during the month of December. And it's in Isaiah chapter 40. And this came through adversity. The Lord put us through a period of difficulty. For a month, we got hit from all sides. We experienced the stomach flu twice. Our son was not sleeping due to severe eczema. He was not sleeping at night. And on Thanksgiving weekend, our house was burgled, all within the period of a month, in addition to other things. And the Lord was working in our hearts and impressing upon us what needed to change. And this verse really struck us. And it was this verse here in Isaiah 40, verse 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. And the Lord had to speak to my heart specifically and say, Brian, you are the shepherd of your family. It is up to you as to what degree the pace is set. And it is up to you, Brian, as to leading your family in a right and godly pace and in a right and godly way, to lead my wife and to lead my children. And the Lord has really given us a great deal of understanding. This may not be something as appreciated here in Wausau, but I don't mean that, but as understood here in Wausau, because here the wall, brethren, is still quite strong. And the family unit is still quite strong. But when we come to California, we have things very much upside down. And there is a great deal of difficulty in understanding what one's role is if we're not looking at the Word of God carefully. And so thank you, brethren. And our desire is that you might continue to pray for our family, that we would be solid and that we might be an example to the flock. One of the things that we find, it's moving. As you know, here's our fourth-born Josiah. Many of you have asked about him. He's now nearing 10 months. We thank the Lord for a safe birth. And this is a typical picture of our family. That's at a rest area on the way up to Oregon. You know, life as a family is interesting because we're both home and away. And we're both home and we're at work at all times. And so we thank the Lord for the help and the strength that he gives us. This we really consider as our first ministry. And we're glad to be able to work together. Our children, there's Jennifer homeschooling the children, teaching them verses. I'm thankful for her faithfulness in this. And we have really sought, and we do seek, to build a family unit that can be served of the Lord. That is our desire, brethren. God has used the family. That has been his initial mag team, really. Okay? Noah and his family. Amram and Jochebed and their children. Okay? Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth, and Zechariah. God has used the family. And it's our deep desire that our family as a unit would be able to serve strong together. And so as you pray, please pray with that in mind. We know of the enemy. We know of his schemes. You know, the Lord is answering your prayers. And if I could just share something for encouragement. We found that on the way up here, I don't know if you had this experience also, but Chicago O'Hare had a number of flights canceled, mine included. And there was a real concern that I wasn't going to make it here on time. And so I passed it on to Jennifer. Jennifer passed that on to the girls, and we asked for prayer. And the time came where there was a real possibility that I may have just gone with another flight the very next day that would have resulted in me not being able to be among you brethren as much. And the Lord just put it on my heart to be able to try one more time. And it turned out that I was able to go to a flight immediately. The lady changed the booking, gave me the ticket, and said, run. Now, this is what I did not know until last night. When they were at the breakfast table, Jennifer gave the good news to the girls and said, the Lord opened the way for Daddy to get onto the plane and to be able to make his way. And Hope pipes up and she says, of course he did. We went and prayed. And Jenny thought that she was talking about when they prayed together, but what she didn't know is while Jennifer was in the kitchen, they went into the room together and they prayed. The Lord's answering prayers. And I thank you for your prayers for our family. So our deep desire is that our girls and our boy would know the Lord and follow him. In addition to that, there is also clarity in the local work and in the work that we do among the Lord's people. This is both among those we know and among those that maybe we are not able to have complete fellowship with, but certainly wouldn't it be our desire to be able to do so. So another verse that has really become important to us is Nehemiah chapter 1. More of an urgent verse than an inspirational verse. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3. And the man speaking to Nehemiah, Hanani, And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province there are in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its cities are burned with fire. This is the burden that the Lord has given to us, specifically relating to the West Coast and especially to California. There is great devastation spiritually. And regardless of whether you look at the family order, or assembly order, or doctrine, key doctrine, there is a great deal of confusion. But you know what's so encouraging? There are people who are wondering and wanting the truth. And there's the opportunity to be able to show them that it isn't, as we heard from our brother Samir, it isn't just a bunch of theories and you just pick the one that seems to make the most sense and hope you got it right, but the scripture's clear. And so that's still our guiding desire, is to make the truth known and to bring and to shepherd young ones and old ones, whoever we meet, into a deeper knowledge of what Christ is, who Christ is, and what we can find in him. This is one local group. These are young people from a variety of different groups, but we have the opportunity to be able to bring them through the scripture. And they have had questions pertaining to all sorts of things. And we're glad for the opportunity to be able to minister to them and to their families. This is a group you may know as the West Covina Mission. There's also, the Lord has also opened up a Bible study in a down-and-out apartment complex. Many of the folks here are living confused, mangled lives. Many of them come from Pentecostal backgrounds. And they're looking for hope. They're desperate for the Word. They're not bored. They want the answers. So we thank the Lord for his help there. The Lord also opens the way for us to travel afield. This is up in Alaska, and we're glad for the opportunity to be able to encourage the Lord's people, all those we meet along the way, as well as various local assembly testimonies such as you. We primarily travel within the West Coast and Alaska, but really our desire is Mississippi onward. But we trust the Lord for when and how that will be. I make no promises of getting to you in a year, right? But by God's grace, we desire to be able to encourage our brethren. And that includes letting brothers and sisters know about the Word. This is a very important, I don't mean the Word as in the Scripture, but the Word as in what is going on, passing on good news. And this is a very important work. That we can take part in is letting people know about good things that are going on and updating them. This is one such ministry in Brawley, California. This also includes visits to places like Principles and Focus, which you heard about yesterday. Alaska, this was this year marks the eighth time that the Lord has opened the way for me to go to Alaska, and I thank the Lord for that. We have two lovely it's not ours, but we walk with two lovely, lovely testimonies up there. Please pray for the saints in Alaska. And we wanted to pass on just a few photos to you, brethren. You know, I mentioned to you about how we went through hardship this winter. And wouldn't you know what an encouragement it was to our hearts to know that you were thinking of us. And so I wanted to let you know that the Lord moved you in your giving. When you decided that you would give us a gesture of love during the Christmas season, it came at just the right time, and it refreshed our spirits. And so these are just a few pictures. We felt that you had the right to see. So thank you very much for your prayers. Again, we would ask, please continue to pray in these areas. Pray for our family, that we might be above reproach and a model for the flock. Please pray that I would be diligent to study the scriptures as they are, looking for Christ. And please pray for the work in Southern California and in the West Coast especially, that there would be those who would stand in the breach and really maintain the truth of the Word so that there can be a rebuilding of families and a rebuilding of assembly order for his name. Thank you very much for your prayers.